If you want to, go ahead and just turn to Leviticus chapter 23, Leviticus 23, because that's where we'll actually get into the scripture. And I want to remind you of some things. You remember we started and we said that God had certain holy days for the nation of Israel. And we went back and we looked and we divided them into five big sections. There was a weekly feast, which was with the Sabbath, and a monthly feast, which was called the new moon. Then there were yearly feasts, which we're going to talk about for Leviticus 23 and some others. And then there's some non-yearly feasts, things that just happened. And then there were things like special feasts, like a wedding feast and a bar mitzvah and those kind of things. And so over the weeks, we're looking through. Oh, I didn't even know we had it up there. There are different things like there that we're going to look at over these weeks. We've already looked at the weekly feast, which was Sabbath. We looked at the monthly feast, which is called the new moon. We saw that last week, and we basically just about got started in looking at the seven major feasts, which are found in Leviticus 23, things like Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits and, Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets and Day of Atonement and the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. And I don't know if you realize this, but that we are in those, in some of those feasts now. Where is the calendar on this thing? I can't remember where it is. There it is. Okay, look at this. You remember, this is September, and we're on the 26th right now. But if you look back in this month, there was already Rosh Hashanah back on the 8th of this month, which was the new year, which was the Feast of Trumpets. And then there was on the 10th day of their month, which was about our 17th, 18th, there was Yom Kippur, which is the highest holy day in Jewish people's lives. It was the day in which their sins recovered. And then last Wednesday, starting Wednesday in the evening, is they call the feast Sukkoth, which means tabernacles. And this is the one that it started, and it's still going on, in fact. Goes on for 8 or 9 days anyway. We're in that now. So this is the Feast of Tabernacles. If you look on your handout, on the very back page, the back two pages, I give you a listing of the different feasts. And one of them has the feast. Oh, I don't know which one you have first. One of them says the Feast of the Lord looks like this. And it goes down the page and you can see Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost. And we are in. We just saw trumpets, Yom Kippur, and tabernacles. That's what's going on right now. The other one, which is a little bit sideways, takes them this way. And I've given you information there about how they tie in the foreshadows about Christ and all those things. We'll see them as we go through. I think the thing that I like so much about the Old Testament. And the truth is, there are people who will tell you, you don't need to study the Old Testament because the Old Testament doesn't deal with the church. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. We're totally different than the Old Testament. In fact, actually, God's through with all that. And so what we should study is just Paul's letters, Peter's letters, James' letters. The letters of the New Testament is what we ought to study. That's what people say. We know that the Word of God tells us that the Old Testament was written for our instruction. So we should study it. And one of the great things about the Old Testament, and whether you look at it starting with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and you go all the way up, you see a history of a people. From the first 11 chapters of the Bible, you have mankind as a whole, beginning in Adam and Eve, going down to Noah. And then in Genesis 12, God chooses a man named Abram, which we call him Abraham. And from that point on, the whole rest of everything deals with the people group that are going to come from Abraham. From Abraham to Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob, who had the 12 sons, and then there's this man named Judah, and through Judah comes somebody else, and on the way down until you find King David, and then all the way down, passed down until Jesus Christ comes. And so so the Bible really is a story of this particular people group. And he shows us, even going all the way back before he chose Abraham, he says, I have a plan to bring sinful man back to myself using my son, Jesus Christ, the Savior. But it just so happens that this Savior is going to come through Abraham to Isaac, to Jacob, to Judah, to David, on down to what we realize is Jesus. So when you study the Old Testament, it is fantastic. And the Old Testament has so much in it. And when you look at the feast days, what we're studying now, you realize that when you start looking at the law, and you say, oh, you know, we're not under law, and I don't even want to talk about the law, and the law is bad. The law actually is good, because the law is the character of God. The problem with the law is you can't keep it. And the purpose of the law was to point you to a Savior. That's what the purpose of the law was. So when you look at the law and you look at those things dealing with the priest and the sacrifices and the tabernacle and the feast days and all of those things, every one of those are pictures of Christ. And so in reality, it's really fun to study the Old Testament. Now, It's fun to look at the high priest and see what his clothes look like and what he did. It's fun to look at the tabernacle itself and you see the table of showbread and the lampstand and all these, and they're all pictures of Christ. It's fun to look at the sacrifices. Now, I have to say that when you go to Leviticus and he starts listing all the sacrifices and you read that and you go, this doesn't really interest me. The only thing you can gain from that is realize that they're foreshadows, they're pictures of Jesus Christ in our fellowship with him. But then when you come to the feast days, like we're studying now, you can see that they were foreshadows of what Jesus was going to do and what the plan is. So it's really pretty good. So we're looking at Leviticus 23. Notice 23 verse 1. It says, "The Lord spoke again to Moses, saying, Speak to the sons of Israel, and says, The Lord's appointed times, which you have proclaimed as holy convocations, my appointed times are." And so beginning in Leviticus 23, he begins to list these times. The very first one in verse 3 is the Sabbath day, and we saw that. We've already spent a lot of time on that. Then the next one is not really listed so much here, but it's the new moon feast, and we had to go to 1 and 2 Samuel to see that and see the new moon feast was a feast that they did one or two days at the start of a month called Rosh Chodesh, the head of the month, and they were to remember what God has done. Now, starting at verse 4, these are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. Then he says, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover. So I want you to say that we're going to start seeing these seven yearly feasts as listed in Leviticus 23. And the Jewish people follow those. They fit their lives. And they were to go to those feasts and celebrate those feasts. And what we realize is that some of the feasts are the feasts. They look at it and they say, this reminds us of this. But at the same time, it was a foreshadow of something Jesus is going to do or as the Messiah. So look for just a second. The first one is the first month on the 14th day is the Lord's Passover. And we all know Passover, and we're going to talk more about it today because that's the first one we're going to dig. It's very special. It's the start of the month. Notice verse 6. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And so there's, you see, right after that is another one. 14th day is Passover, 15th, for 7 days, 15th, it starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread. As we study it, we're going to find there's another feast right there in the middle of this. We'll talk more about it a little bit later. Now, these special feasts, and then, of course, as you keep reading through all Leviticus 23, you're going to find seven feasts. And they set these people apart. Everything dealing with the law set the people apart. Why is it they couldn't eat certain foods? People want to say health reasons. Well, there's a truth about some of the health, but when Jesus came along and he said, you can eat anything you want to. And then the Gospel of Mark says, thus Jesus made all food clean. Jesus said, you can eat anything you want to. The Mosaic Law said, you can't eat this. This is going to make you a unique people. You have to wear these kind of clothes. It's going to make you a unique people. You have to do your land this way, and you have to do this way, and you have to rest on this day, and you have to do this on this day so that you will be different than all the other people in the world. And that's really what they are. And the thing that's so amazing is, what does he tell us about us as Christians in the body of Christ? We're supposed to be what? Different than all the people in the world. Now, not weird. We've talked about this a lot of time. Sometimes Christians are weird. And they do that, and they think they're standing out. And they are standing out, but they're not standing out that's drawing people to Christ. They're standing out that's pushing people away. You want to be different because you love God and you love people. And that's what will make you stand out. And as you're faithful to serve God, you'll stand out. It's not the clothes you wear. As some people have gone throughout history saying, Christians can't wear this and this and this, and you can't go to these things and these things and these things, and you can't. That has nothing to do with being a great representative of Jesus Christ. And people have been hung up on things like that forever, and we don't want to ever be hung up on those kind of things. Well, let's think about this whole thing. Let me show you something in Deuteronomy 16. I don't want you to turn there, but in Deuteronomy 16, the Word of God said that all Jewish men must come to the place of the tabernacle and celebrate three times a year. There were three times they had to come, supposedly come to Jerusalem, to the tabernacle or to the temple that would be later built. They were to come and celebrate. The first one was called the unleavened bread. But during unleavened bread, there was Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits. There were three feasts. So every Jewish male was supposed to leave wherever they were living, come to Jerusalem, and that's why the whole city was full all the time, and they were to celebrate those three feasts. They were to come back some 50 days later to a feast called the Feast of Weeks or the feast called the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. And they were to come back. And then later, on in the fall, they were to come back at what was called the tabernacles. Now, tied in with tabernacles was trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. They all came together. Most of the time, they would come early enough to come to all of these. So as a Jewish man, you technically were to celebrate these seven feasts every year, and you were supposed to come to Jerusalem to celebrate them every year. Did all the people do that every time? No. And it's the same as in everything else. People don't always do what they're supposed to do. But Passover was always amazing because people came all over to Jerusalem, and they were just packed with people, thousands and thousands and thousands. That's why when Jesus Christ died on Passover, the whole place was full of people because they'd all come to celebrate the feast of unleavened bread, Passover, first fruits, all of those things. So I want you to see that Jewish people had to come three times a year. Jewish males had to come. Most of the time they brought their families. Okay? We're going to do three things as we look at this. Number one, we're going to get the background of the Passover. Number two, we're going to look at the Jewish Passover meal. We won't be able to, just from time today, I know we won't be able to finish it, but then we're going to see Passover as a type of Christ, and I want you to see that. Let's get a little background. Okay, and I don't, you don't have to turn. Well, let me do this. Let me look for a second. Yeah, go ahead. I want you to turn to Exodus 12, okay? Exodus 12. Genesis, Exodus 12, famous passage in the Bible. But you need a little background on the Passover. Now, most of you know, we're studying on Sunday nights the book of Genesis. And Genesis ends with the nation of Israel in Egypt during the famine. And Joseph is number two of the great leaders. Pharaoh is number one. Pharaoh's God. Pharaoh's king. And number two is Joseph, Jewish guy. And they're there. And they're living there. And the book of Genesis ends with that, and the book of Exodus begins by showing that there arose a Pharaoh after Joseph died and all this. There arose a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph, and he was bothered by the Jewish people, and he put them into captivity. And so for 400 years, the Jewish people were in captivity. And we know that God raised up Moses. Moses, who for the first 40 years of his life lived in the palace as Pharaoh's daughter's son. The next 40 years of his life, he lived on the backside of the desert in Midian, working for a man named Jethro, married to Jethro's daughter. And for the final 40 years of his life, he comes in, leads the people out. They wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and right before they go in the land, Moses dies. That's his life, three 40-year time periods. But Moses was raised up by God to go and confront Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would not let him go. And God would bring a plague and another plague and another plague and another plague. And he would always say, "Okay, you can go." And then as soon as the plague would stop, he'd say, "No, I've changed my mind. You can't go." And so in Exodus 12, we get some information. This is the 10th plague. They've already gone through 9 plagues. And by the way, every plague was a judgment on one of the gods of Egypt. One of the gods of Egypt. There was darkness for a while. What god did God judge? The sun god, Ra. And then the river Nile became what? Blood. What god did he judge? The river god. Nile. Nile was a god. But there was one god left that he hadn't judged yet. Pharaoh. Pharaoh was considered a god. And Pharaoh's firstborn son would be the next Pharaoh and be the next what? God. So the 10th plague is going to be a judgment on the firstborn. Look at Exodus 12, look at verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you.'" It's called Nisan. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th day of this month, each one of them is to take a lamb for themselves, according to their father's household, a lamb for each household.'" So they were supposed to go get a lamb on the 10th day of the month. In fact, it was supposed to be, as you notice, if the household is too small, for a lamb, then he and his neighbors close to the house are to take it together. According to each man, you should divide this lamb. Your lamb shall be without any blemishes. It has to be a perfect lamb. It has to be a perfect lamb. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. But here's the key. On the 14th, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole congregation, then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. Now, you'll understand a Jewish day. If we're going by a Jewish calendar, what is today's date? The 20 what? You may know. Or do we care? You know, we go, I don't care what day it is. It's the 26th, right? This evening, around 6 o'clock, this day would end. And the evening would begin, and it would be the 27th. Jewish calendar. The evening comes first, because they go back to Genesis when God would say, and the evening and the morning were the first day, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So tonight around 6 o'clock, Jewish time, it would be the 27th of the month, and it would be the night of the 27th. And then tomorrow would be what? The day of the 27th. That's how Jewish people did it. So in the evening, on the 14th day of the month is Passover. So it was pretending that today would be the 13th of the month. Tonight at 6 o'clock would be the evening of the 14th. Would be Passover. Passover night comes first. Jesus had his meal with his people in the Last Supper in the evening of the 14th. And then he got put on the cross the next day, which is what was the date of the next day? It was still the what? It's the 14th. The 14th night, the 14th day. He died on what day? Passover. So he's the Passover lamb. So I just want you to see how that works. That's why they say, in the evening, you shall keep it till the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly, the congregation of Israel, is to kill it at twilight. That's what they were supposed to do. Now watch. Moreover, you shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses of which they eat it. So they were going to kill it, and they were going to take the blood, and they were going to put it on the sides and the top of their door of the house in which they eat it. They're to eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire. They shall eat it with unleavened bread. Because see, what's the next day? 14th day. The next day is the what? 15th day. What feast comes on the next day? Anybody know? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's why you can't have any leaven around. So they're going to eat unleavened bread on Passover on the 14th day. So when they get to the next day, and it's the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which he's starting all these right now, okay? Look at verse 11. You shall eat it in this manner. Were your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You know what he told them to do? I want you to eat it dressed and ready to go. Why? They're fixing to leave, right? They're fixing to leave. They've been slaves for 400 years. The whole Passover is to get them out of there. It's the final judgment on the gods of Egypt. It's the death of the firstborn. He tells them this. You put the blood on the door. Get yourself dressed. We're leaving tonight. They were leaving tonight. I mean, if you've seen the movie, you know, where they come out and the problem is that they parted the Red Sea when? During the day. But it wasn't parted during the day. It was parted at night. He says, get yourself dressed. Be ready to walk out the door. Don't leave yet. Don't leave until I pass over. But I want you to be in there and ready to go because you are leaving. And so look what he does. He says, be dressed and ready to go. And then in verse 12, for I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. And he's coming through this night on the 14th day at night. So the next day will be 14th day. He's coming through at night, and he's going to execute judgment, and he's going to kill all the firstborn of Egypt, both man and what? Beast. Here's a cow. Here's firstborn. That's going to die. Here's a man and his firstborn going to die. We go, that's tough. Yeah, it is tough. Notice what happens. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will what? Pass over you. That's why it's called Passover. And no plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. God basically says, when you believe me and you kill the lamb, the lamb is going to be your deliverer. The lamb of God who takes away sin of the world. But this lamb is going to be the deliverer. And they're going to kill it, put the blood on the door, and they're going to stay in the place, dressed and ready to go, stick in your hand, sandals on, packed up, ready to leave. And when he passes over, every firstborn that doesn't have the blood on the door, they will die in the land of Egypt. Just like that.
We are talking, even though it doesn't state it, firstborn son.
Not, yeah. Not well, what did he say? He says firstborn. Firstborn. Okay. Now, keep watching. Now, this day will be a memorial to you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it as a permanent ordinance. Now, the talk all the rest of the way is going to end up being firstborn son, because that's what he takes from the nation of Israel. He takes all the firstborn sons and sets them aside as the priest, basically, and we'll see that later. And then he says, this will be a sign to you. This will be a memorial to you. You shall celebrate this as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. You're going to always remember this day. And you know what happened? God came through in the middle of the night. I think it was so amazing. Let me see if I can find the verse. Because when I read this when I first became a Christian and I started reading this, I couldn't believe this. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. You shall observe this as an ordinance for your children forever. And then verse 28, then the sons of Israel went and did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. They did exactly what God told them to do. They believed God. See, salvation always comes by what? This is a physical deliverance comes by faith. There's also a spiritual aspect of this, because they're believing in the God of Israel to provide for them and to take care of them. So notice verse 29. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captivity who were in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. When I read this next verse, I was 19 years old. And it hit me what happened that night, because it says Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. And I read that when I was 19 years old. I'd never read the Bible before, as you know. I'd never gone to church before, and I just trusted Christ, and so I got a Bible, and I read the book of Genesis, and then I started this book of Exodus. And when I read that, it hit me, because I'd gone off to college, and my hometown was Meridian, Mississippi, about 40,000 people. And I imagined, what would it be like to wake up one day in Meridian and every home in Meridian had somebody had died that night? And that's only 40,000 people in that town. This is the entire land of Egypt. Think what it was like that morning when people got up. In every house had somebody dead. Firstborn. I remember reading that going, I think God's pretty serious. You remember, I hadn't been a Christian very long when I read this. And you know, I got mostly through Exodus, and then when I got to Leviticus, I decided to switch to the New Testament. Now, yes. Well, I'm not sure. I think it's firstborn in the household, whatever household it was. And that's why he told them to get into the houses and stay in those houses. And that's why he told them that if the Passover lamb was too small, too big for one small family, you could combine the families. So I don't know. I don't have enough information. It appears that, if you did it that way, that everybody... a bunch of them would die. So it looked like every household where there was the head of that household, whoever was considered the household, his firstborn would die. So it's pretty powerful. Okay, now let me show you one other thing. I know, is anybody else wrong yet? Oh, one or two? Two? Two bells? Okay, I got to show you one thing before that. Okay, look at this right here. This is the picture, if we got it. Okay, Passover lamb, Jesus Christ. The Passover lamb without spot, Jesus Christ without any kind of spot, no sin, 1 Peter 1:19. He's the perfect lamb of God. The Passover lamb was killed to take care of everything. Jesus Christ died. He is the Son of Man. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life. And the blood had to be applied. It was put on the door. Well, the blood is applied by faith. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, in a sense, the blood is applied for you in that sense. And so that's the picture of the Passover lamb. Jesus Christ is called our Passover lamb who has been sacrificed for us. Now, we just got started because that's the background. If you notice on your handout, next time we're going to talk about the Jewish Passover. We're going to see the meal. I'll also get lesson three for you because I'm going to go pretty fast through the Jewish meal, and that's where we're going to end lesson two, and I'll start lesson three also to show you how Passover completes it all. So there's some great stuff there. Any questions or anything about Passover, what we've seen so far? Talk about faith. You have to believe what God tells you. Kill an animal, put the blood on the door, God's going to pass over. They'd seen the plagues. They knew that God was doing something. And best you can tell, they stayed in those houses dressed and ready to go. Because when that happened, what did Pharaoh tell those people to do? Get out. Every one of you, get out now. And they got out. And you know what they did as they got out? They turned to their neighbors, their Egyptian neighbors, and said, can I have those gold earrings? And they said, yes. And they plundered the Egyptians. Why in the world would they take all their gold and silver? They're going to use it to do what? Build the tabernacle. That's what they're going to use it for. Good stuff. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for the truth of Passover. Thank you that Jesus is our Passover lamb who died for us. Thank you that when we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we have eternal life. We are saved. We thank you, Lord, that He is our Savior and salvation. In the same way that the Passover lamb delivered the Jewish people from the bondage of Egypt, we know that our Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, delivers us from the bondage of sin. Thank you for these great truths. Help us as we continue to study. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.